Yeah, you guys didn't sleep last night, is that correct?
Yeah.
Who slept last night? Okay, who didn't sleep last night? Don't admit it. Okay, right. So this week's parsha is a story that if you think about the story, it sounds strange. Okay, now before we start, I want to know how many of you guys are into animals? Animal lovers. Okay, my animal lovers, how much does a sheep drink? How much water does a sheep drink in an average day? Okay, anybody take a shot? A sheep? How much does a sheep drink in an average day?
10 gallons.
10 gallons, okay.
It's a minimum guess, but let's say 20 gallons.
20 gallons, okay.
5 gallons.
5 gallons.
3 gallons.
3 gallons.
7 gallons.
7 gallons.
5.
What?
Five.
We already heard five. Okay. 15. Okay. An average.
17.
An average sheep drinks 1 gallon of water in a day. 1 gallon of water a day for an average sheep. Let's say it's a sheep which is a mother and it's nursing its child. 2 gallons of water a day. Okay. How much does an average cow drink in a day?
2 gallons.
Okay. Let's go for it.
2 gallons.
That's right. Two. Who says two? Who says three? Okay. Who says four? Okay. Who says five? Okay. It's around 4 to 5 gallons of water a day. Okay. How much does a donkey drink in a day? I don't know. Okay. I said whatever you guess is right. Now, next question is how many donkeys left Mitzrayim with Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim? Okay, so that's a good number to start with, because I'll say that every family of the 600,000 families had 90 donkeys. 90 donkeys, okay, so who, mathematicians here, who's the mathematician? Okay, 90 times 600,000 equals?
6 million. 5.4 million.
5.4 million, right? 5,400,000. So there's 5,400,000 donkeys. Let's assume a donkey drinks 2 gallons of water a day. That's how many gallons of water for the donkeys?
9 million.
5.4 times 2 equals?
10,800,000.
Okay, let's call it 11 million gallons. So the donkeys alone consumed 11 million gallons of water a day. How many Jews were there in the desert with Moshe Rabbeinu? The 600,000 men from the ages of 20 to 60. There was probably 600,000 women from the ages of 20 to 60. That's how many?
12,000.
1.2 million. Right, 1,200,000. Okay, now there was children under the age of 20. There were men and women above the age of 60. So let's, and then there was the Erev Rav. So let's say 2.5-3 million. How much does an average person drink per day?
A gallon of water.
Right?
Should be drinking a gallon.
What? Between a half a gallon and a gallon of water. So let's say that the Jews consumed about 2 million water, about gallons of water per day. So we have 11 million gallons for the donkeys, right? We have 2 million for the Jews. That's how many?
13.
13 million. We still haven't spoken about the sheep,
and the
goats,
and
the cows. We don't know how many they had. But we know Mikna Rav. There was a lot of Mikna for Bnei Gadol Reuven. Everybody else had less. We don't know how much everybody had. But they had a lot of cows. So let's say the average day in the Midbar, let's take a guess, how much water was consumed in the average day in the Midbar?
20 million,
25 million gallons of water. Okay. Now, all of a sudden, the water stops. What would you guys do? Right? You're in the Midbar. Right? There's this well which is putting out 25 million gallons of water every day. Is that a lot of water?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a lot of water?
Yeah.
A lot of water?
Yeah.
Yes, good. Okay. Right? So now, all of a sudden, it stops. Would you be nervous?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay. I'd be very nervous also, right? We'd all be nervous, right? I mean, you can't live without water. Yourself, your wife, your kids, your Zeta, your Bubby, right? Your Tantas. What's going to be, right? And, you know, you've become very fond of that donkey over there, right? You know.
It's carrying all your money.
Right? So you're very fond of that donkey, and you have 90 of them, right? You know, you're worried about them. Okay. So you go to Moshe Rabbeinu and you complain. You ask. Okay, you should. All right. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes over to Iraq. Now, you're in the Midbar. Is there water in the Midbar?
No.
Is there water underneath the Midbar?
No.
Maybe. Is there enough water underneath the Midbar that's going to be putting out 25 million gallons of water a day?
No.
No. Okay, probably not. Okay. He goes over to this rack. And he hits the rack twice. And out comes 25 million gallons of water today, tomorrow, the next day. So what are you going to say? Ah, probably the water was there the whole time, right? What you going to say, right? What you going to say?
Yeah.
Who's going to say the water was there the whole time?
Not me, because the...
Who's going to say it's an ace? Right? How big an ace? Small one? Big one? Very big one? Small ace. Let's hear it. Small ace. Who says small ace? Medium-sized ace. Big ace. Very big ace. Okay. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Moshe, don't hit the rock. Speak to the rock. And he didn't speak to the rock. He hit the rock. He said, ah, you made the nace too small. Really? Really? We're all there in the Midbar, right? Right? Let's play. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And this is the rock, right? You guys say, water! Let's go. Here, let me hear louder.
Water!
Okay.
Water!
And I say, rock, listen, here's the deal, rock. We're going to put out a lot of water. We're going to fill this room with water in 3 seconds. Everybody else run out immediately. Is going to drown. Mm-hmm. You nervous? You ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, ready? One, two.
Bam.
Nothing happens. A little bit of water comes out. Second time. Mm-hmm. Guys, run for the exit. You're going to get drowned. And everybody says, wow, what are you going to say? Nice! Hashem cares about us. Hashem loves us. Hashem's there for us. Hashem took care of us. Wow, we're saved! But he didn't speak to the rock. You should have. Why did he hit the rock? So what is the complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu that he didn't speak to the rock? He only hit the rock. So Rashi, the nace wasn't big enough. So that's my problem. That's the question I'm going to try and answer today. So I see some people want to suggest an answer. I'll make you a deal. I'm going to say my answer first, and then you can say yours afterwards. Is that okay? Okay, everybody okay with that? Yeah. Okay, you guys still awake? No, okay, I can see. A long night, yeah. Okay, so let me ask you a question. We're sitting in the Midbar, right? You haven't had water for 2 days. You are?
Thirsty.
And you're very worn out. It's hot. You're very worn out. You're tired. And you get water. What emotions are you going to think? First emotion you're going to think is?
Water.
Baruch Hashem, water. Right? Second emotion is? Thank you to Hashem. Right? Third emotion. Yeah, that's shoes. Anyway, okay.
Right.
Third emotion I think that we should think of is like, when Hashem makes a nace for us, what's the message? That he
loves us.
He loves us. He cares about us. He's interested in us. Right? So part of the purpose of this nace was to make Klai Yisrael understand that Hashem loves us. Hashem loves you. Hashem loves you. Right? Hashem loves you. Hashem loves every human being, but he loves every member of Klai Yisrael, and he loves you. Yes. And he loves you. Yes. Right? Each person would walk away, Hashem took care of me. When I want to say a message of love, and I can say the message of love in a very gentle way, and I say the message of love through a having to do something a little more violent, which one's stronger? Which one's stronger? A message of love. Done in a very gentle way. And the message of love done in a violent way. Which one's stronger?
Gentle.
That's the complaint against Moshe Rabbeinu. You could have increased the message of how much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. And you didn't. You should have believed in the power of Hashem's love to Klal Yisrael, that it's obvious that the best way to get water is just to speak to the rock. Hashem loves Klal Yisrael so much, you don't have to hit the rock and pull it out. You have to pull out the water. It'll just come out. It'll gush forth on its own because Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu should have believed in that love so much he wasn't that he could just walk over to the rock and speak to the rock, and out will come 25 million gallons of water. That's how much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu did not believe. He did not believe in Hashem's love of Klal Yisrael all the way to that degree that he could do that. He felt he had to do an action to make it happen. He had to pull the water out. He had to pull the water out. There's something lacking in Hashem's, the message to Klal Yisrael, how much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. The Baruch Hashem wanted to say a message to Klal Yisrael, I care about you so much that I'll give water without even doing anything. That, I think, is the Taina on Moshe Rabbeinu. So next time you're walking through a midbar, and you happen to see, all of a sudden, 25 million gallons of water burst forth, first thing you should do is run, because you shouldn't get drowned. Okay. Second thing you should do is say, wow, Hashem sent me water. And the third thing is that I'm taking care of. And the third thing is that Hashem loves me enough to produce that water for me. Now, you weren't there. Were you there? No. But our fathers were there. And they knew that message. And they gave the message over to us. And the message over to us is Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. I want to leave you with one more thought. And this is an interesting halachic thought. Okay. Everybody understand what we said? So the main message of this week's parsha is Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Good. You know there's halacha. If you sit down to eat a meal and you own a dog, and you have not fed your dog yet at day, what's the halacha?
You have to feed him first.
You have to feed the animal, your animal, before you eat. Do you have to give your animal to drink water before you drink? Okay, you understand the question. If you have to feed your animal before you eat, how do you know that you have to feed your animal before you eat? It's in Kriya Shema. How do you know that the Torah says that you have to feed your animals first? It's a pasuk in Kriya Shema in the second paragraph. And it starts with the word Nasati. Esev, Besodacha, Livem Techa, V'okal. To translate the pasuk, please. The Bereshit says, I will put grass in the fields for your animals, and then you will eat. That's what the pasuk says, right? So the pasuk says, what's the order? Hashem will take care of the animals,
and then you.
What about drinking? So I don't know how many of you have looked over the parsha yet, but what's the halacha? You can drink before your animals. You don't have to give your animals a drink first. How do you know? So it didn't say. Good answer. So there's two answers. How you know? Yes.
It says.
Bye.
It says in the passage that it says to Bnei Israel and then their animals.
It says the Rosh Hashanah, he will give water. So the Eda uvi Iram. So the Eda to the Kehila, to the Jews uvi Iram and their animals. It mentions the people first. That's not the source that the Maggid of Rum brings. Okay, the story of Eliezer and Rivka. Yes, you wanted the Maggid of Rum does not bring this source. He brings the source of Eliezer and Rivka. So Eliezer comes to Parshas Chayesara, comes to Aram, and he meets Rivka, and she says, "I'm going to give you two. V'gam gemalecha ashka, and I will also give your animals." What did she say? I'm going to give you and you're also your animals. So it says over there that the people went first. That's the source that it brings. But in this week's parsha, there's another source. So the Yad Ephraim asks this question. The Yad Ephraim says, when Hashem makes a nes and produces water, he doesn't make nesim for animals. He makes nesim for human beings. So nesim, of course, the Jews, the person goes first because the nes was because of him. That's what you can't prove from this week's parsha. But in the story of Eliezer and the Gemalim, that's the source. Okay, so we learned two things today. Hashem loves you, right? Uncle Sam wants you, right? Hashem loves you. That's number one. Number two, when Hashem makes a nes, he makes nesim for Klal Yisrael. He doesn't make nesim for animals. He makes nesim for Klal Yisrael, and therefore that's why the Jews had a right to drink the water first. How do we know you have the right to drink the water first? Not from this week's parsha, from the story of Eliezer and Rivka. So when it comes to drinking, which is very important, a person can't live without drinking. A person can live a few weeks without eating. Can't live very long without drinking. Human beings go first. Okay, that's my two messages I wanted to share with you, and I think we have a question over here, Joey.
But before you said that Rosh says that the day is supposed to be big enough, and but then it says that the reason why it wasn't big enough is because they would have learned a greater lesson. The lesson was that a rock that doesn't rely on Hashem at all still listens. So Bnei Yisrael, who were fully relying on Hashem at this point, should follow whatever they're told to do.
Right, I'm not saying Rashi. You're correct. I'm not saying Rashi. I'm saying a little bit different than Rashi.
What?
I'm saying a little bit different than Rashi.
I realize that. But
okay, good.
If you're just using the first part as a question, the answer is then, but there's an answer in the Rashi, and then you just get an answer.
Like, correct. I'm not answering Rashi. Right. That, I could tell you Pshat what I think Rashi means, but I'm for now I want to say this is not like Rashi. Yes. Yes, sir. So why? That's a good question. Why? So the question is, do we have to feed our animals first? We're allowed to take water for ourselves before the animals. Why is that? So the simplest answer is because Hashem said so. Okay. But the Yad Ephraim says, you know why you feed the animals first? Okay. Rabbi Freeman, how much time do we have?
All day.
Have all day. Okay. Okay, Rabosai, get relaxed. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, so there's a Gemara in Tamid, Masechtas Tamid. Who heard of Masechtas Tamid? Okay. A few of you heard of Masechtas Tamid. If you did your Chemdas, you memorized all of the Masechtas and Shas, so one of them is Masechtas Tamid. So the Gemara says a story with Alexander Mukdan, Alexander the Great. When someone's traveling, he comes to a country, and he's greets the king. I'm not going to get involved in the whole story. He greets the king, and the king invites him to sit, join him for a court case. The king is going to decide a case, and he invites Alexander the Great to join and watch the case. The case comes in. There's two people arguing about a field. We'll call them John and Jake. John and Jake. Okay. So John says, you know, I bought this field from Jake, and I was working in the field, and I found a beautiful gem. I didn't pay for the gem. I want to give it back to Jake. That's John's argument. I want to give back the beautiful diamond to Jake. And Jake says, I sold the whole field, including the diamond. I can't take it back. It belongs to John. So John is saying, give it to Jake, and Jake can say, give it to John. Do you like that fight?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful fight, right?
Yeah, I know it is.
So what is the king? So they go back and forth. The king says, you know, I have an idea. He says, John, do you have a daughter? He says, yeah. Jake, do you have a son? He says, yeah. Why don't the two of them marry and he'll give them the diamond as a present? So that's what they did. So he looks at Alexander. Alexander's looking at this like with this really strange look in his face. All right? Now, remember, he was from Greece and they weren't necessarily the nicest people. You remember, like, we had the story of Hanukkah was with the Greeks, right? So he's looking at the king, and the king is saying, you didn't like my decision? That was a great decision. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's a great way to deal with the problem. Like, what's wrong? He says, what would you have done back in Greece? He says, very simply, I would have killed John, I would have killed Jake, and I would have taken the diamond for myself. So now it's the king's turn to look at Alexander, like, you know, that's strange, right? He looks at him like, says Alexander, what are you looking at? He says, tell me, does the sun shine where you come from? He says, yeah. Alexander, does it rain and produce, like, does things grow where you came from? He says, yeah. He says, are there animals where you came from? He says, yeah. And I understand. So I said, what do you understand? He says, if that's how you judge, there's no way that the human beings would deserve the sun or the rain. It must be that the sun and the rain is coming in the exclusive of the animals. If that's how you deal with things. So that's the Adafrayim. The reason why we give the animals to eat first, because we're afraid that maybe the reason why there's food, my friends, is not in our sluice, it's because of the animals. That's why the animals go first. That's the Adafrayim says. When it comes to water, coming to the ability to drink, Hashem will not allow us to die. See, even if we don't deserve it, Hashem's going to give us water to drink. That's the answer, what the Adafrayim says, why we get to drink first, but they have to eat first. How is that like for an uplifting message? Like, very good. Maybe the reason why you're all able to live is because of the animals, right? Right? What? Okay. Yes. So that's the Adafrayim says, you know why they didn't bring the proof from over here? Because when it comes to Nisim, Nisim belong to human beings. So it would come out according to him that in the Midbar they ate the man first and the animals ate the leftovers. Okay, one more question, then we're going to finish.
You mentioned before the Chayat Sar, it says that this person named the animals. And that's the reason why the animals ate.
That's how we know that the...
But he asked for it, not for his animals, so it means
terrifying. So that's a great question. Give me your name. Give me your name.
Michal.
What's your last name?
Shields.
Michal asks a great question over here. He says, Eliezer asked for water. So, of course she offered him first. She says, listen, Eliezer, like, excuse me, don't you know the halacha? Like, you know, the animals go first. So first of all, I'm going to take care of animals, and I'm going to take care of you. Like, she's not going to say that. She has Derek Eretz. Eliezer's a big tamachachem. She's a little girl. She says, he has some water. I'll give him water. She says, by the way, I'll also give your animals water. So what's the proof? So, Michal, you're very smart. Can you think of a reason why we could still prove it from that parsha? Not from Rivka, but from Eliezer. Why did Eliezer ask for water first, if he doesn't have the right to get water first? So the rye is not from Rivka. The rye is from Eliezer, that he asked for the water first. That's a great question. Somebody else asked him the same question. I mentioned this idea to somebody yesterday. He asked me the exact same question. And I said, I think the proof is actually from Eliezer, not from Rivka. I think you're right. Okay, Rabbi Sai, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.